Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. With a standard of living unprecedented in human history, American society can attribute a large measure of its success to increasingly sophisticated uses of energy. The strength of industry, the speed of transportation, the myriad comforts and conveniences of home and workplace, and the security of our nation all derive from ever more ingenious provision and application of various sources and forms of energy. But society has begun to question the methods we use to power modern life and to search for better alternatives. It is becoming clear that we must make some smart decisions about alternatives to current technologies so that we use energy more efficiently and ensure that we have access to an affordable supply of energy from a diversity of sources. But this all requires a credible and widely accepted analysis of technology options and their costs and impacts. Responding to a new sense of urgency about the nation's energy future and drawing on its principal strengths, the National Academies has launched an ambitious new effort designed to provide that authoritative analysis that will help guide those sensible choices. Last week, the Academies hosted a two-day summit to provide an overview of recent influential energy studies and initiatives. Robert Fry, Vice Chair of the National Research Council's Board on Energy and Environmental Systems, a member of the Committee on America's Energy Future, and a visiting scholar at Resources for the Future, described how this timely event stimulated important discussion.
There's likely to be a big energy debate coming up in the next year or so, and so it's really important to get on the table in front of policymakers the best thinking there is in the energy field. And really, the summit was a way of doing that, of taking stock of the intellectual capital that's going to undergird whatever policy debate takes place. And I think it's really appropriate for the academies to do that. The convening power of the academy, the objectivity that's ascribed to it, the expertise, gives it a place where everybody can come and listen to sometimes competing views of the future, but do it in a reasonable way and be assured that they're getting the very best information. We had 20 speakers, I think it was. I can't think of 20 individuals that are any better at presenting all the aspects of the energy problem than the ones who agreed to speak at the summit.
And the consensus is that we will need the best and the brightest to devise ways to keep resources and consumption in sustainable equilibrium. Addressing the issue of sustainable resources in a nation that gets 85% of its total energy from oil, coal, and gas is surely a formidable goal, but it is one that we must pursue rigorously. Again, Robert Fry.
Energy has become a pretty obvious problem because gasoline prices are at the highest level they've been ever, I guess. But natural gas prices are up as well, and in a lot of areas, electricity prices are up. And people really notice that because those energy source energy services that they provide are not things that you can easily do without. So you can't just stop driving or stop heating your home. I think climate change has also become more and more of a concern for the public. For the policy community, those are also very important factors. In addition to that, people who study energy are concerned about the longer-term effects of climate change and the terrific difficulty of dealing with it.
The combustion of fossil fuels releases carbon dioxide, a major greenhouse gas, into the atmosphere, and most climate scientists believe that the buildup of those gases is the primary cause of global warming in recent decades. Moreover, many uses of fossil fuels, as well as their extraction from the earth, contribute to air pollution and can cause severe damage to our health and the environment. Responsible stewardship of our planet demands that we find new ways to minimize or eliminate those effects. The good news is that this goal appears to be attainable. The better news is that considerable progress is already evident. Our society relies on energy that is available when and where it's needed, that's generally affordable at stable prices, and that can be counted on in the near future. But the fact is that the world is an uncertain place, and we are dependent on foreign sources for 2/3 of our petroleum supplies, as well as many other resources. This means that we've put access to some critical energy sources beyond our immediate control.
Oil and natural gas tend to be located in the Middle East and in Russia, and as a consequence, there is an increasing dependence on areas of the world where there may be a motivation to just shut off the supply. Those risks are high, and if we found ourselves cut off of oil supplies or natural gas supplies, it would send the prices skyrocketing and really disrupt our ability to thrive and to all the other things that energy allows us to do.
In the United States alone, energy consumption is projected to rise 20% above present levels over the next two decades. Worldwide demand is forecast to nearly double by 2030. Much of that growth will be in developing nations, most notably China and India, which between them contain more than one-third of the planet's people, creating unprecedented competition for limited conventional resources. Addressing our energy future will be a difficult, long-term process with unknown outcomes. Robert Fry warns that real solutions can only be found in public-private partnerships.
It's a hard problem because the energy system is in the hands of the private sector and is global. And so you've got to find a way of crafting government policy that brings the activities of the private sector, and for that matter, of our foreign policy, together in a way that gives people the incentive to solve these energy problems.
No matter how the nation's energy portfolio changes over time, an increasing share of future needs will be met by technologies now in research or development stages. There's growing technical and financial interest in renewable and sustainable sources, such as advanced nuclear power, wind power, solar power, and certain biofuels, and in technologies that minimize carbon dioxide emissions and capture the gases in storage areas where they cannot reach the atmosphere. Such efforts are especially consequential as worldwide consumption trends put increasing pressure on traditional energy sources.
At the end of the day, much of the solution to this problem is going to be because we're able to develop and apply new technology. Technology is going to play a really major role in solving this issue. But also, and I think this is really important, to let the policymakers know what the potential for basic research is. I think that the final solution to this problem over the next several decades is probably going to lie in some things that haven't been invented yet.
Whatever happens, three developments are certain. First, fossil fuels will be a major part of the world's energy portfolio for decades to come. The fact is that it takes time and money to change the distribution and consumption patterns of large populations, and that won't happen quickly or easily. It's also true that no single technology will provide all of tomorrow's energy. Second, invention and development of more cost-effective, low-carbon energy resources will become progressively more urgent. And third, bringing those new technologies to market in convenient and affordable forms will pose a challenge even more daunting than the research itself.
By the time we work our way through the things that need to be invented and that demonstrated that they work and made commercial and then ultimately getting them to penetrate the market in sufficient quantities to make a difference, it's going to take some time and all the more reason to stop talking about some of this stuff and getting on with it.
As national and international debate on energy grows more intense, Americans increasingly need dependable, objective, and authoritative energy information. The National Academy's Energy Future Initiative is a step in that direction. The future holds great promise. New discoveries, advanced technologies, and high-tech energy may transform the energy landscape, and with it, the shape of society. But our energy makeover will be a very gradual and uneven process. The current energy infrastructure is huge and hugely valuable. Changing it will and should be a careful, deliberative matter unaffected by sudden popular enthusiasms or technological fads.
I think we do have to recognize this is a big, complicated problem and that it's going to take a long time to reach the ultimate solution. If we think there's a quick fix out there or a silver bullet, going to delude ourselves, and that would be the basis for bad, ineffective policy. It was quite clear from listening to the experts at the summit, there are some things that we're ready to do, and we need to get on with doing them. We have not built a nuclear plant in this country in the last 30-plus years, and we need to build one.
Tomorrow's energy, like today's, will come from a robust variety of sources. New devices, processes, and systems will surely be offered, but not every new technology works, and even those that do are not always adopted by consumers. If the history of human ingenuity is a reliable guide, however, America will find ways to flourish on energy that is sustainable, responsible, and secure. For more information on America's energy future, you may log on to nationalacademies.org/energy. You may also download a free PDF of the National Academies booklet, What You Need to Know About Energy. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.